Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith as we continue on. Roland, please.
What's that? I told him I was going to do this.
We were waiting for this one.
I said that I'm not going to talk this section. You know, just leave it all up to
Ladies
you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there'll be dead air for the next 10 minutes and 37 seconds.
No, there would be never dead air. Carl, I know you.
In other words, it
would not happen.
When in doubt, keep talking.
Anyway, I came across.
Chris, our engineer, by the way, is looking at us saying, these gentlemen are losing their minds.
Who are these people? There's a Brooklyn-based freelance writer whom we both know and read every once in a while. His name is Larry Schwartz.
Yes, a wonderful writer, by the way.
And he works for Scholastic.
Yes.
And that's a classroom magazine on super science, the science world, et cetera.
Right. One of the leading producers of children's books in America.
Yes. He recently wrote an article for a internet site called Nation of Change.
Yes.
Which I look at quite often because I think it's kind of interesting. It's more of a liberal bent than anything else, but that doesn't mean that I'm liberal. It just means that I look at all aspects in order for us to have some discussion points.
That's correct.
When we're here. Anyway, he wrote an article called The 10 Biggest Threats to Human Existence.
Interesting. I have not seen that.
You want to guess one?
Well, I would think the question of health and the spread of disease would be one.
I'm sure that's in here, but that number one was global climate change.
Interesting.
I'm not going to go into the details. I'm just going to read them off to you.
Please.
Loss of biodiversity. And you know what that is?
Sure.
Okay. Then the number three was bee decline, like the honeybees.
Correct.
The honeybee decline because of pollination. Bat decline was number four. Pandemic because of the Ebola virus
That was my number five.
Number six was biological nuclear terrorism. Number seven was super volcanoes, Mount St. Helens or Mount Fuji or, any of the other, Mount Etna.
That's correct.
Asteroid impact was number eight. Rise of the Machine is number nine. And 10 was zombie apocalypse.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, because of there's a parasite he calls Toxoplasmosa gondii. It says it's a terrifying little bug that infects rats, but it can only reproduce inside the intestines of a cat. So it involves a nifty little trick where it actually takes over the rat's brain, compels it to hang around cats. The cats kill it, eat it, and then the virus is able to sustain itself.
He's reaching on that one.
Well, I don't know.
First of all, cats do not eat rats. That's a misnomer. No, we're not going to go there. Okay, they really don't. However, the points he raised on the biological question.
Mm-hmm.
The points you raised about nuclear war or terrorism are very real. The pandemic that we've saw it. By the way, right now in Africa, we have
it's terrible. 700 over 700 people died of the Ebola
virus. And by the way, they're not even. I caught myself because they're not even sure how many people right now. You said 700. That was the news.
Well,
source.
I heard on the way into the studio today.
Correct.
I was listening to a report out of Africa saying that the United States Peace Corps has pulled out its volunteers.
In
a number of different countries because of the Ebola virus.
The question of a pandemic is very real in this world. We don't really realize how close we are to a pandemic on this planet. However, the United States, which leads the world in the question of detecting and monitoring in our health service organizations with daily, and I do mean daily reports that go out to every health service organization, clinic, hospital, what have you, in terms of the question of monitoring through the CDC out of Atlanta, Georgia, we do that very, very well. I don't know if we've been able to prevent the pandemic, but we'd at least be the bulwark to be able to try to forestall a worldwide calamity because we're really at the edge of this entire science.
Well, we certainly know a lot more now than we did in 1918.
Oh, without question.
When we had that global pandemic that killed hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people.
And believe it or not, in the late, after World War I, the flu virus killed more people than those that died in World War One totally.
Right.
Okay. It wiped out a good portion of many communities here in the United States. But we're ahead of that game. But his points are very well taken. We've got to pay attention to these kinds of lists. And it sounds like a news thing, but it's not. Being aware is half the battle. And many people will tell you that. If you're not aware of something, you can't react to it. But if you're aware of it, you can at least react. And at least what he's putting out is a list to be aware.
Well, you know, we've been aware of a number of things like the bee decline
now,
for the last several years.
That's very interesting. Most people are not aware how important bees are to pollinize and control the development of fruits and vegetables in the United States, not around the world.
Carl, every one of three bites of food eaten worldwide depends on pollinators.
That's extraordinary.
That means bees, especially bees.
That's extraordinary.
But there are other pollinators in there. And Mr. Schwartz points out that the bees are dying because of what they call CCD, which is colony collapse disorder. You know, some people say it's because of the insecticides that we spread around the world.
Which we've now been managing to control.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point is that at least we're aware of that. We understand it now. There are major controls being taken place across the country right now, at least in this country. I can't speak about the rest of the world, where they are looking to control the bee population. They're working with those that work with bees to define them. They're working with the killer bee question, which is here in the United States, is in Texas and in Arizona in particular, New Mexico, the southern states where the killer bees have wiped out pollinizing bees, particularly in those areas.
No, I know.
They're working on that area, but at least we're working on it, as long as we're aware.
What about the other one, though, like bat decline? Would you ever?
I never heard of that.
Well,
you got me on that
one. He says, you know, bees are the pollinators, and they're dying off, but bats, too, Mr. Schwartz says, are dropping like flies as a result of deforestation.
What's the purpose of bats, though, as far as...
You know, I don't know, but I know what they're dying of is that thing called fatal fungal disease in the nose. It's kind of a white thing in the nose.
Okay.
And where I live, which is in a rural area
Correct.
Of America, we have a lot of bats.
Of bats.
And they seem to roost at night after they're flying or in the daytime underneath the portico where I live.
That's correct.
And... I get a lot of bat poop, you know, so I know that they're there.
You know they're there.
Yeah, but that's also pretty toxic, too.
But I don't understand what the purpose of that in terms of the global environment is concerned.
You know, I don't know either.
I know they declined in Africa, that I do know.
I could read the article. Do you think that would make a difference?
Take a moment while I have a read the article while I go on here. But the point of all of these is that, Roland, at least we are aware of the question. And you and I have discussed this before here on this broadcast. If you're not aware of the question, you're not aware of the problem, there's no discussion of it. It just goes by the wayside.
Well, here I'm just glancing over this article here. It says, every year, on average, five new infectious diseases pop up, and about 75% of these new diseases come from animals. It is already suspected, now here's the word suspected, that human killers like Ebola, which we were talking about
just
earlier,
talking about it, yes,
emerged from the bat population.
Oh, for God's sake.
Now he says, now might some new human killing pathogen mutate from bats to humans and decimate mankind? This, you know, the article was things we ought to think about.
You know, but that's,
not worry about
but
it,
that
but
is
just
the,
think
but
about
Roland,
it.
But Roland, that is the key. We're thinking about it. As long as we have it in conversation, as long as we're talking about it, it's part of the e-message. I use the term now, e-message or social networking. It's part of the news. It's part of the conversation. We become educated. And far too many people in this day and age, in an age of communication, are not educated.
Right. Well, and the other two that we haven't talked about, super volcanoes.
Yes.
Now, many years ago, I covered the eruption of Mount St. Helens.
Extraordinary.
I saw the devastation in that valley with all the trees pushed over and, you know.
You told me that story. It's fascinating.
Major problems. That's a possibility. You know, the Earth is responding to what we do to it in many ways.
Without question.
Some call it, you know, a Gaia response.
We must at least be aware of it, though.
And the other one that he mentions is asteroid impact. Now, you had that incident in Russia.
Correct.
Was it last year?
Yes, last year.
I think it was. Where, I mean, so many people and property destroyed and people injured.
We live in a very delicate environment. And we must be aware of that, both from a health perspective and from an environmental perspective.
We are the nature that we abuse.
Well said. This is America Weekend and Smith Sabatino on America Weekend, the Envision Radio Network. We're back.
America Weekend. Brand like a rock star with Steve Jones.
Lynyrd Skynyrd was Southern and proud of it. They made the Confederate flag a part of their image. Their music, while very much raw rock and roll, was heavily influenced by Southern blues and country. And their most iconic song, Sweet Home Alabama, extolled the virtues of Southern life. Geography says a lot about your business. Seattle Fried Chicken doesn't carry nearly as much credibility. Neither does Kentucky Coffee. Even your location within a city can speak volumes, like a high-end jewelry store in a strip mall next to a discount liquor store. Where you are and where you're from can play a major role in defining your business. For more ways to make your business rock, visit brandlikearockstar.com.
Get the IRS off your back with one phone call. Talk to a live professional tax relief agent and stop worrying about your tax problems. That's the wall difference. It's easy.
Call 1-800-719-5564.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Does the tip jar work? Does its presence encourage people to share their change? I mean, you get the idea. You get takeout. There's a tip jar. You buy a latte. There's a tip jar. What's a person to do? Here's the social science of it. The phenomenon awareness of the norm suggests that majority's behavior will encourage you to conform and do the same thing. So you see a tip jar and it's empty. Chances are you'll conform and leave nothing. But see a tip jar with several, not too many dollars in it, you too will conform and contribute a tip. What's the cheap psychological trick? Humans will conform to the majority opinion when they know what's expected. If the majority gives a tip, you will too. There, the tip jar works. QED. More info at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.